If you thought you were tired of listening to me, you get to do it again. Jennifer is not here today, and we hope that she's feeling better, but I did want to remind people, coming soon is Christmas in July. Just when you thought the summer temperatures were coming, we're going to be starting to raise ingredients for our Christmas boxes coming up, and we're going to try to catch things in the summer that are on sale for kids and back to school. So that's going to be coming in the next few weeks. You can probably see it the first week of July coming. So we're going to ask for shoe boxes, and we're going to have a theme for each month for different people to bring things here to the church so that we can. We got 63 boxes last year to impact for Operation Christmas Child. And not only do someone from around the world get a Christmas blessing, but they also get to hear the Christmas message and the saving gospel of the Lord, and also get to be discipled if that's something that we are able to do. So I encourage you, watch for announcements about that. We are going to start Christmas in July, so plan ahead. Thanks.
What a great privilege we have to bring our tithes and offerings into the storehouse of the Lord on a weekly basis, and so we're going to invite our ushers to come at this time to receive our weekly tithes and offerings. Let's pray together. Father, we ask your blessings today on this offering. Lord, you've blessed us in so many ways. Not the least of these in a material way. Thank you for all you do. And as we bring our tithes and offerings into the storehouse of the Lord, bless them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We will remember. remember the words of your hand. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness. We will remember, we will remember, we will remember the works of your hands. We will stop and give you praise, for great is thy faithfulness. You're our creator, our life sustainer, deliverer, our comfort and joy. Throughout the ages, you've been our shelter, peace in the midst of the storm. With signs and wonders, you showed your power. With precious blood, you showed us your grace. You've been our helper, our liberator, the giver of life with no end. Walk through our darkest valleys, you will look back at all you have done, and we will shout, our God is good, and He is the faithful one. Hallelujah, hallelujah, you are from the everlasting throne.
Sure.
your Son, and leave in your Spirit till the work of earth is done. My Father, for giving us your Son, and leave in your Spirit till the work on earth is done.
Thank you, Stella, for the beautiful music this morning. And we appreciate those who are willing always to step in when others are away. And indeed, we have several that are out this morning who have gone to worship with their fathers, or others who have gone to worship with their children, and so we miss them, but we are so glad for each of you that are here, and I see that we have some who've come in to do the same, and so we are glad that you're here. We welcome you into our service today, and we just want to say thank you so much for coming and being a part. As we prepare our hearts for prayer this morning, we want to say a word of thanks. This beautiful arrangement that you see here this morning is left over from Adrian Carlson's memorial service yesterday, and we thank Joanne and her family for allowing us to have its beauty for us this morning, and good to have some of the family to be with us in service as well on this Father's Day in memory of your wonderful father, the great life that he lived and shared with us. What a privilege and honor it was to have him with us for the period of time that we enjoyed him. And then we want to be praying, as has already been mentioned, this is a General Convention and Assembly Week beginning. Pastor Don will be flying out, he and Ruth, early. He will be a delegate at the Missionary Convention, and then the General Assembly will be having communion together on Sunday. And we hope to be there in the stadium for that great communion service. The World Quiz will have happened on Saturday before, so be praying for these three kids and their families. It'll just be a great time, great gathering, usually 50, 60,000 Nazarenes gathered together through the course of that the week and those meetings. And so they will appreciate your prayers, inspirational services every night, just a great time. And so remember our General Assembly. And then also we want to ask you, it's always good when Dan gets to be home with us from the trucking, and he's gotten a little bit of a promotion, but he says it's going to be a challenge. He's used to being in the truck by himself, but he's now being asked to train other drivers. And so he starts that on Monday. And, you know, if any of you are used to traveling your own way on your own time, doing your own thing, when you put other people in the rig with you, then it's a whole new ball game. And he has asked us to remember him in prayer because he wants to be a good witness. You never know who those other drivers are going to be. Might be someone who is a Christian and they can share their faith together and build each other up. Might be someone who doesn't know the Lord. He might have the opportunity to share his faith along the way. And so he's asked that we remember him. We want to be sure and do that this morning. And then I'm not exactly sure what's going on over at the Mills place. But Bert has had a couple of falls this week, and Steve was attacked by a swing set and jerked off a lawnmower, and so it's been kind of wild over there. But Steve and Jen are in Nashville with their grandbabies and their children, and we want to remember them. Pray for Sister Bert, and it's getting more challenging. We have several of our folks, you know, that are. You know, having to have a little aid as they walk around and those kinds of things. And it's just not much fun. And they've been sharing with me how discouraging that can be sometimes. So we want to lift you up that you'll maintain your balance and be able to negotiate life's pathways all along the way. So remember these folks and continue to pray for those that are battling cancer. Continue to pray one for another as God brings you to each other's minds. But let's stand together this morning. We're going to sing together. These altars are open to you. And as we sing this morning, if you have need of these altars as a place to lay down a burden or to lift up praise, you feel free to come. But I'm going to ask our fathers to come in particular this morning and just stand here at the pews between the altar and the front pew. Just come and assemble. We want to pray a special blessing over you today on this Father's Day as we are together. And Alex, I'm going to ask you and Jennifer, if you will, to come. In just a moment, we're going to hand out some gifts. You to come and help us with that, if you would, this morning, please. So as we sing together, if you have need, a place to come and pray. And indeed, We invite you, fathers, to come and stand as we pray a blessing over you this morning.
Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God and Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand, just the sheep of His hand.
Sometimes my mind fails me and I don't get everything done just exactly the way I intend to. I had intended to, and as a matter of fact, it's laying on my desk, but my office is locked. So I had intended to bring and read to you a poem this morning called To Any Daddy. It was given to me on my first Father's Day. And we have passed it on now to my son Cody on his first Father's Day when that happened back a few years ago. And basically what it says is there are little eyes upon you watching all that you do. And in essence, what it says is in hopes that when they grow up, they'll be just like you. And so we come this morning and we ask God to help each of us to be what He wants us to be and the way He wants us to be, so that we indeed can set the example before Him that we need to. And we'll share a little bit more with you about that as we share the message this morning. But how many of you here this morning are thankful for these men and their lives and the way they impact you? All right. Would you give them a hand of appreciation? And as we pray this morning, we pray God's blessing upon you for wisdom and strength, courage, and a passion for Him. I know some of you are in the same boat with me this morning. I miss my dad. For those of you who have the opportunity to communicate with your fathers, I trust that you've already done that or will in the course of the day today, one way or another. And Mike, if it's okay, I share yours every once in a while when I need him. And there are several of these gentlemen who have been so good to me, Pastor Don and Troy. Others are great men and others who I feel like brothers with. And so I'm so glad to be the pastor of this church this morning. And as we certainly pray over all these other needs that we have mentioned, we want to pray for God's hand in your lives. Let's pray together this morning. Father, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. We are grateful, Father, for all that you do for us. We are thankful for your interest in us, your knowledge of us. We thank you for your example, for the direction that you give us in your word, for sending Jesus to show us the way. Father, we're grateful for salvation, thankful that our sins can be forgiven, that our guilty conscience can be relieved, that our penalties have been paid, and indeed, Father, that we enjoy eternal life as a gift from you. Father, we pray today over these needs that have already been mentioned. You know each one of them. You know the situations for health and provision financially and all of the things that indeed are going on and need your touch this day. But Lord, we pray especially for these men, that your hand would be upon them, that you would fill them with your grace, with your power, that your Holy Spirit would lead them, give them vision to see what they cannot see through human eyes. Give them the ability to do what they cannot do just within human abilities. But Lord, let us reach the potential that you have gifted us with. And let us be faithful to you and to your word. be the guide to our children that we need to be, to our families, to be support and protector and provider. Lord, just bless us in every possible way. Go with us every step, for we need you. And Lord, you awoke me early this morning. And I don't know how things work in heaven. I hope to find out one of these days. But I know my dad's there somewhere. And I ask if you'd just say hi to him for me. I don't know if it works that way or not. But Lord, I know you know what's going on up there. You're in charge of it all. And help each of us to live our lives in such a way as we may gain heaven as our home. And that we can take as many with us along the way as possible. We thank you for your love and for your mercy and your grace, for your power and your presence. And we pray that you would make this a special day in the lives of these men and those that they have contact with. And we'll give you praise for it all. We thank you for your blessing. Continue to be in this service, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Alex and Jennifer, did we get, Ted, did you and Brett get, Alex, can we take some gifts back to Ted and to Brett? And I think Morsi back in the back seat there was not able to walk up here. And so if you'll take two or three of those back and hand those to them, that would be appreciated. Thank you so much. We want to make sure that we honor all of our gentlemen. And I heard just the tail end of what you're about to hear this morning. And there were some times that I spent with my father that were pretty serious. Some of them more serious than I wanted them to be. But there were a lot of fun times too, and I think you're going to like what you're about to hear, and I'll let Bruce share what's going on with you.
Sometimes we sing songs that are slow and serious. Sometimes we sing songs that are peppy and fast and fun. Well, this is a slow but peppy, fun one.
Sweet Lowing, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming for to carry me home. A band of angels are coming after me, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. You get there before I do, coming for to carry me home. Well, tell all my friends that I'm coming to, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. I'm sometimes up, I'm sometimes down, coming for to carry me home. But till my soul feels heavenward bound, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home.
Thank you, Brother Bruce. Appreciate that. Appreciate that. I like that song. I've always liked that song. Now, I think it's only fair that if you get to sing down in the lower register, that God should make me able to sing tenor, but it hadn't really happened yet, so. I always like it when Bruce hits those really high notes. You know, he does a great job. We have so many wonderful talents in our church, and it's always great to hear from each of them along the way. And so if you have your Bible this morning, turn to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. I want to share with you a message entitled, Just Like My Father. Just Like My Father. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Aren't you glad for a heavenly Father? Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1, which Brett doesn't have, says a good name is more desirable than great riches. And I remember the pride that I had the first time I walked into the Bank of Fordland to secure a loan to buy a car, and they said, "Who are you?" And I said, "I'm Gary Swearingen." And they looked at me, and that didn't mean a thing to them. And they said, "Do you know a Virgil Swearingen?" And I said, "Yes, he's my father." They said, "What do you want?" And I was so proud that I could go in on the reputation of my father and secure the loan I needed to buy the vehicle that I needed, and that they allowed me to sign whenever I could get in, you know, to do so. And so it's a wonderful thing to have the heritage of being the child of someone who has a name that is recognizable, that means something, that has credibility, and that indeed might gain you entrance into particular places. And I remember as a kid growing up, I don't particularly remember that I specifically was going to be the same job as my father. And of course, I knew from the time I was 13 that I was called to preach. So that kind of changed the game right there. But I do remember that as I grew older and as I began to have vehicles, and then as I got married and I began to live in my own home, that there were some things that took place. And I've just come to realize along the way kind of the reason for that. I remember that when I went to buy my first hammer, it couldn't be just any hammer. It indeed had to be a Plum, that's a brand name, a Plum Red fiberglass handled hammer, which was relatively new at that point in time. But that was the kind of hammer that my father used, and he was a carpenter. That's what he did for a profession. And so I figured that was the best possible hammer a guy could have, and I went out and bought me one. I also remember I had it for several years until my sons got old enough to find it, and then I don't know where it went. But I also remember that when I was taking care of my automobiles, that I learned to change my own oil. And indeed, I put Valvoline oil in my car because that's what my father put in his car. I figured if it was good enough for Dad, it was good enough for me. If it worked for him, it worked for me. And so I used Valvoline oil. I also remember my father's lifestyle about finances. And my mom and dad never had... Now, I'm the last of five siblings. My mom and dad never had a credit card until after I was married and left home. And then I think it wasn't really anything my father wanted. It was something my mother got at Montgomery Ward's. It's one of those deals where, you know, you get the credit card and you get the other little prize. But my father had the philosophy... And this is what he taught me, and it's kind of how I try to operate. He said, you know, if you want something, wait a week. If it's still there, you still want it, and you got the money to pay cash for it, get it. And I'll never forget the day he drove into this driveway. I was in my office, and he came into my office, and he said, come here, I want to show you something. He walked me back out under the rain canopy, and there was a white Buick LeSabre. He said, I'm thinking about buying this car. What do you think? I was kind of surprised because he didn't normally ask me what I thought about anything. I said, well, I think you ought to wait a week. And if you go back and it's still there and you got the money to pay cash for it, you ought to get it. He laughed. The next day he came back. He said, how do you like my new Buick LeSabre? I said, you don't practice what you preach. But I learned a lot of great things from my dad. And I to this day, there are many things that I believe in the way he did things so strongly that if it was good enough for dad, it was good enough for me. That I would adopt those principles, that I would live by those philosophies, that I would use those material things because they worked for him. And I believe they'll work for me. And I believe that the greatest gift that we can live to our kids is to have them to follow after the example of our Heavenly Father. Well, it's great and it brings pride to us and it makes us feel good when our kids do things the way we did it or they want to do things the way. The ultimate thing is that they would accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that they would follow after our Heavenly Father's example. And indeed, our first images, the truth of the matter is, and sometimes this is not always a good thing, but oftentimes the first images that people have of our Heavenly Father are because of the equation to our earthly fathers. Sometimes it's not a good comparison. Sometimes it's not even a true comparison. But it's often where things begin because the word Father is attached. And so this morning I want very quickly just to share some things with you from Scripture. We're going to kind of take a really quick trip through some Scriptures here. And I think Brett's got the computer heated up and we're ready to go. And so these are some things that I think every man desires to be. And indeed we find things within the Word of God that challenge us to be and tell us that God is for us because we are fathers in the image of God. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27 read this way. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock and over all the earth and over all the creatures that move along the ground. And so we are created in the image of God. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And we want to live out this image of God as we provide for our families and as we become the men of God that God desires us to be. And the first thing that comes to us is we have it within our male image that we are to be protectors. It is our job to protect our families. We find in Psalms chapter 32 and verse 7, these words, you are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance, Selah. And we find in Psalms 59:1, this reading, deliver me from my enemies, O God. Protect me from those who rise up against me. And in Psalm 61:7, may he be enthroned in God's presence forever. Appoint your love and faithfulness to protect him. And in 69:29, I am in pain and distress. May your salvation, O God, protect me. And then we can go into the New Testament. We find passages speaking to this issue in John chapter 17 and verse 15. In that high priestly prayer of Jesus, we find these powerful words. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3, it reads, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. How many of you are glad to get some protection from the devil? He's not much of a guy. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to take away everything that God wants to give. And so I'm glad that my Father, my Heavenly Father, is a protector. But I'm also glad that when I was here on this earth as a young man growing up, that there were times I was scared, but I don't ever remember being scared when I was within arm's distance of my father. Because I didn't worry about things because I figured he was going to protect me. And I could be in a room by myself and a storm would come and I could cry out and my father would come into that room and fear went away when my father showed up. Because I knew he was going to take care of whatever it was. And we indeed want to protect our families, but ultimately God is our protector. Not only is he our protector, but he's also our provider. In Genesis chapter 22 and verse 14, we find this passage is familiar. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. How many of you remember what that scripture is about? What was going on then? A sacrifice. And Abraham was willing in obedience to God to sacrifice his son. And yet if you read that entire passage, you'll find some little blips in there that indeed indicate that Abraham's faith was so great that while he was obeying God and he had the knife in his hand ready to slay his son, he believed all along. There's some indicators there that he believed all along that God was going to provide. And indeed, he did. A ram in the thicket. I can't ever remember a day growing up that I didn't have clothes, that I didn't have a meal, and there were even some fun extras that were thrown in along the way. My father always provided for our family. He was a good provider. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11 reads this way, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him?" I remember on birthdays and at Christmas, now my family was never real big about buying a lot of presents. You know, we might get a present of something we really needed, you know, a shirt or maybe some underwear or something, you know. And I got so tickled because we had Remy's birthday party yesterday, and he got some clothes. That wasn't what he was looking for. And he had a definitely disappointed look on his face. We didn't get a lot of gifts, but I remember virtually every birthday of my life, I received a gift. And during Christmas, there would be things for my family. My father wanted to provide us with good gifts. And I will never forget. We lived down on the farm, and we were riding my sister's bicycles. Do you realize how embarrassing it is for two strong American males to have to ride girls' bicycles? And we pleaded with our parents for new bicycles for Christmas, my brother Eddie and I. And Christmas morning came, and the presents were under the tree, and we got up and opened the presents, and we got all the presents and no bikes. And you know how dads are. Then my dad said, "Oh, I think maybe we forgot something." And out of the garage, which was detached from the house down on the farm, rolled in these bright candy apple red metallic Stingray bicycles with high-rise handlebars and white banana seats. And buddy, we were in business. And I can remember watching my father smile. I didn't understand that. I didn't really understand that until the Christmas when my son asked me for a Sony Walkman. And we didn't really have the money for a Sony Walkman, but I was bound to determine we were going to find it. And I will never forget the Christmas morning when Cody opened his Sony Walkman. It was worth every penny I spent to see the joy in his face. And I believe our Heavenly Father gives us good gifts because He enjoys seeing the joy on our face when we receive from Him those blessings that He know are good for us and come from a heart of love. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19 says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus." I am so glad today that God can provide all my need. And you know what my greatest need is? My greatest need is a Savior. And the truth of the matter is, if God didn't give me anything else but Jesus, I'd have everything I need. But God goes beyond that. He gives me more than just what I need. He gives me sometimes the things that I desire. Sometimes things come along the way that I didn't even know to expect. And they're great blessings. And I am thankful that God is not only a protector, but He is also a provider. And we want to be providers for our families as well. But He's more than that. He's not just a protector, and He's not just a provider, but He's a professor. And He's asked us to be. God teaches us many things along life's way. He is life's professor. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9 says, Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget these things your eyes have seen, or let them slip from your heart. As long as you live, teach them to your children and to their children after them. There is no greater reward in life, in my opinion, than when your child that you have been trying to teach embraces your philosophy about life. And I realize they need to be free to be independent. I realize that they need to be able to make their own decisions. But the truth of the matter is, it's scary when they start going places you don't know and you've not been and you don't understand. And it's a tremendous comfort when they embrace the values that you have and believe what you believe. And I will never forget. And I probably tend to remember some things with Cody because he was the first one coming through the gate. And partly because some of the others haven't written that letter yet. But I will always remember the letter I got from Cody during his senior year in college. When he said, I get it now. You tried to say these things. You tried to teach me these things, and I get it. Thank you. It's great, no greater joy than gathering our children around us. Sharing things with them, finding to say, that works. I've proven that works. He challenges us to teach in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 1. He says, these are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing, the Jordan, to possess. We have a responsibility to teach. We can't leave our kids on their own. We need to guide them to the Word of God. We need to guide them to God's house. We need to guide them in God's ways that indeed they would have the wisdom they need. Psalms chapter 34 and verse 11 says, come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Psalms 111:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and all who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. And 119:66 says, teach me knowledge and good judgment, for I believe in your commands. And 143:10 says, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. Folks, the Word of God has the answer to everything we need. In God's Word, He has given us the answers to our questions, the solutions to our problems. He has taught us the way of life. He's given us relational issues. Everything is there for us to live the way that we need to live. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10 reads this way, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of His Holy One, the Holy One, is understanding. In Proverbs 15:33, it says, the fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom, and humility comes before honor. We need to embrace the Word of God. The greatest wisdom we will ever impart to our children is to know and do what God says. And we have biblical examples, both of good and bad fathers. As we go through the Scripture, we find those people out there that indeed were poor fathers. Now, sometimes the issue isn't whether or not they loved their kids. It's not necessarily an issue of whether they loved them or not. But it may be an issue of what they were teaching them. And according from a Christian perspective, there were people out there, I read to you not too long ago, so I'll not read it this morning, in 1 Samuel 3:11 through 14, where Eli allowed his two sons to go out and do all kinds of cantankerous things in the temple, and God reprimanded him for it, and they lost their lives because of it. I want to remind you, though, in 2 Kings this morning, of Manasseh and Amon. In 2 Kings chapter 21, verses 19 through 22, Amon was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 2 years. His mother's name was Meshulemeth, daughter of Heruz. She was from Jotba. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, as his father Manasseh had done. I'm telling you, they've been telling us for years, more is caught than taught. You can teach a lot of things, but your kids are going to do what you do. And if you don't do what you teach, they're going to do what you do instead of what you teach. Because if it works for you, they're going to try it. Maybe a few extra things along the way. And all of the kings before Josiah, 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 13 records, Go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah about what is written in the book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written there concerning us. And so there's a whole history of men who led their families and their countries as kings in the wrong direction, away from God. They rebelled against His authority. The best thing that we can do is to take people to God and to His Word. That's the example that needs to happen. And we find the example of those kind of fathers when we look at the father of Jesus, Joseph, in Matthew chapter 1. We see these ideas of protection and provision and all these things. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." There's a lot of times when society doesn't get what God's telling you to do. But who are you going to listen to? There were all kinds of issues through those early years with Jesus. In Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, recorded, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." And then in verses 19 through 21, so he got up and took the child and his mother. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up and take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." There's a lot of times we may not understand what our dads are doing. You know, when they say it's time to move, it's time to go. And I was fortunate enough to live in the same place for my 18 years of growing up until I got married, and things remain pretty constant. But I know a lot of folks who've traveled, military parents and various other things, pastors sometimes as parents, and they were moving here and there at the will of God and the direction that God had given to those parents. And sometimes God asks us to do things that other people don't understand, like build arcs. And everybody laughs until it rains. And we could have used an ark yesterday afternoon. But perhaps one of the most well-known examples of fatherhood is found in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. We'll not take time to read it this morning, but it is the story of the prodigal son. And you remember the story, how the son came to ask for his inheritance. When I was a kid growing up, I thought this guy was pretty rude and crude and mean and nasty, and he really was a very obnoxious child. The truth of the matter is, as I've studied, he had every right to do what he did. According to the law, he had every right to do what he did. Doesn't make it a good thing, but he still had the right to do it. But once he claimed that portion of his inheritance and took off, it was done. It was over. And here's where it really makes a difference in the story. Because while it seemed like he was rebellious and obnoxious, he really had a right to ask for what he asked for by the law. And it was gone and done and over with. But if you read the story, you remember that the impression is that the father maybe sat on the porch every evening to see if the son was going to come up the driveway. And there was that day when the son returned home. And the father ran up to him and said, "I gave you by law what you had a right to have. I don't owe you a thing. So you just might as well turn your tail, go out the driveway, and go away from here, because you are no longer my son. I have no place for you here," right? It's not what the book says, is it? The Bible records that even when he had no reason to have to do so, by the law, he restored his son to his position in the home. Reinstated him. And I'm sure that when life was over, he probably gained an additional amount of inheritance, perhaps. But he put the robe and the ring and the sandals. And many, many times we have failed God. Many, many times we've had to come back and say, "I'm sorry." And the wonderful, beautiful thing is that God never gives us just what we deserve or just what the law requires. God is patient and gracious and loving and forgiving. Doesn't mean it doesn't matter to him. It doesn't mean that he doesn't want us to walk in victory. It doesn't mean he doesn't want us to make the right choices. But in our failure and in our flaw, he is loving and receives us back and restores us in the relationship. And I want to close this morning with giving you the biblical description of the ultimate Father, as we read in our first passage to hallow the name of our Heavenly Father. I want to bring your attention to Psalms 103, the first 13 verses that read like this. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For the longest time, I never really understood what that verse was talking about when it says, as far as the east is from the west. And I wonder, what difference does it make? East, west, north, south? You know, until I got older and someone explained to me, you can get on a globe and north is a finite direction. You can go north till you get to the top. And then you start going south. North ends. But you can get on the equator and you can start going east and you never stop going east. Or you can go west and you never stop going west. And so when the scripture says that God is willing to cast our sins as far as the east is from the west, it means He's not going to look them up. He's not going to try to bring them up. He didn't throw them just as far as the north is from the south to that ending point. But it's an infinite line that never meets. East and west. That's the Father above. Now, that doesn't mean that God doesn't have rules. That doesn't mean that God isn't disappointed or frustrated when we don't obey Him. It doesn't mean that He doesn't want to help us to stay within the lines. But what it does mean is that when we failed, when we sinned, if we come back in a heart of repentance with a broken spirit, He loves us so much. That's why He put His Son on the cross. And He says, I forgive. And gentlemen, that's the kind of fathers we need to be. We need to help our kids understand the lines. We need to provide them with a sense of security. They need to know what the boundaries are. But there comes a time, and I don't know if my kids remember this or not, but particularly when they were smaller, there was a time when a spanking would be issued and then a hug would be given. Because there were rules that needed to be adhered to. I wanted my kids to know their daddy loved them. I never doubted my dad's love, but I never heard him say those words until I was 25 years old. My dad was a good dad. He just wasn't a dad who expressed things that way. But I can tell you, it sure was nice when I heard him the first time. Right behind his sky blue 1973 Monte Carlo sitting in my driveway when he came to see Nathan after he'd been born for the first time. And he couldn't even say it seriously. He was getting ready to go home. I'd helped him put the stuff back in the trunk of the car. My dad never spent the night anywhere but in his own bed if he didn't have to. And he came down early that day and he was leaving early enough that evening to get back in his own bed by that night. And I said, Dad, be careful going home. I love you. I didn't expect anything. Usually on the phone, it was like, yeah. And swearing's in that means I love you too. But I'll never forget that day when my dad said, yeah, I love you too, but don't tell anybody. So I had to make a joke out of it to get it out. But that was okay. It was great to hear anyway. And I'm just saying, gentlemen, that we need to be able to express, even when we're having to enforce the rules, our kids need to know why we're doing it. It's because we love them. And we want them to be protected. We want them to be provided for. We want them to know the right things to do, whether they believe us or not. Because somewhere along the way, they'll get it. May God help you to live in His image and be all that He gave you the potential to be to your family and to this world. Happy Father's Day. He loves you more than you can imagine. Stand with me if you would. Enjoy your day. Enjoy your families. We'll not have service tonight. We want you to have the opportunity to spend as much time with them as possible. And then we'll reconvene at the regular times. Go in the grace and the love of our great Heavenly Father. May His compassion, may His mercy, may His love, particularly to you men today, spill from your lives into the lives of those you have impact upon. Amen.